tell me if this sounds familiar. You are experiencing record numbers of incidents, really outrageous behaviors, and everyone is exhausted from dealing with this since the beginning of the school year. One thing's for sure, your numbers will not look good if reporting at this rate is persistently accurate. If this sounds like what's going on at your site, let's talk about the root behind possibly some reasons why this might be and what you can do about it on today's show. My name is Joe Clossy, and you're listening to the Traveling Principal Podcast, a show designed to connect educators with education globally. Think of this as your morning mindfulness, educators. Let's make some sense of what's going on here. I've been in a number of schools on the West Coast recently and was also fortunate to be in Georgia only 2 months ago as well. In addition to hearing from educators in New York too, yet I've also talked to leaders in Saudi Arabia and Tunisia, and they are seeing exactly what we were talking about as well at their sites. More specifically, it's a huge rise in incidents among students that is noticeable, though, at every level, not just high school. It's as if students forgot how to like interact is what I constantly hear when I'm asked what is happening. It's as if they were forced to forget for some reason. And what could that have been due to? Here's what I think. I listened to Ezra Klein's New York Times podcast on the impacts of the quiet catastrophe brewing in our social lives. And it was fascinating to hear that this is happening to generations of people, not just students. So that was very healthy right away as a takeaway. He stated that people are the products of an environment that we've created. And today's youth communicate via technology, and when conflicts erupt in a virtual world, people can be deleted, fully ignored, etc., blocked. These situations are usually over due to this, right? So you can literally turn them off. In real life, however, conflict can continue. And when emotions flare and you cannot ignore an outcome, our basic instinct to be angry and defend ourselves becomes a natural part of our path of progression as humans, right? So we see this in schools. We see a mass amounts of fights, massive amounts of arguments daily. And so, you know, unless you are taught otherwise, which we will circle back to, that's what we're seeing on a global level. However, the show also continues to talk about the impact of earbuds and how they enable us to avoid social awkwardness and even rejection at times. And so now that I've plugged that show enough, but think about that content in respect to students for a second, right? How interesting is this? Let's talk about this for a second. If we've created ways to communicate digitally in a virtual world, which comes with norms for being able to do so that are different from norms when communicating in public, then we need to review the norms for both and often. So, as a school, are you teaching people to interact in public? When was the last time a student was showed a list of actions that they can perform that are showing respect or being polite in public? They may never know unless you do. A kid may never know that they have to give up their seat for someone else. That's not inherited behavior. When your world of dominated virtual communications includes a different set of rules to follow, that's not inherited. If this doesn't sound right to you, it's because you're not in the virtual or the digital world that dominates communication for you. Watch a 16-year-old with a phone for 5 minutes. The engagement of multiple apps, mass amounts of information, mass amounts of communication efforts, videos, and processing of all within that short amount of time is intense. We do it and become exhausted. We get frustrated and we turn it off and put it away. Such is the norm for behavior when you feel that way when using technology. You cannot do this, though, in real life. And that makes more sense to me now that I say it out loud. Kids walk around with earbuds all day, and it's no wonder why they don't participate often in class. They are isolated all day because you never know if they're listening or even if they're with you. That's what the earbuds give us the ability to do. All day? If you have them in all day long, you are sending that message out all day. You're sending that message out more than you're not when you're outside. Think about that as well. Now, what do you do if you have homeroom or advisory or common periods for students? Get a curriculum that enables these skills that we totally take for granted and assume kids should know because they did a few years ago, and now teach them. Create mentoring relationships with students, older and younger. Have teachers be mentors. Have teachers mentor students the entire time they are at your site. This way they get to really develop a relationship with one person. Because that's what this is about, everyone. Teachers are leaders. Make relationships with students and watch them understand how to communicate authentically. They can get upset, but learn to express this in words and work out disagreements naturally because they practice it. Watch how divide becomes mended with time. That is made haste in correlation with the communication efforts from both sides to find remedy. Think about that for a second. People defend when they feel offended. People get upset and emotions take over, and that's as quick as the outcome persists. But teach conflict and teach decision making. Teach communication and expression and respect and politeness, and teach what words can be said and which ones cannot, and teach the foundations of skills that students need to interact with the world both virtually and in reality. Or watch your numbers go through the roof like everyone else's. Let's also not forget that leaders are asking teachers to cover massive amounts of additional periods per day for those that are absent. This means more money, sure, but all year? A coverage a day? A coverage period a day means you lose a prep a day and means you're teaching someone else's class, and it means you're basically that much more shot at the end of the day. Let's also not forget that when teachers are tired, students pounce on that. They do not tire. Incidents increase as the year progresses and the weather gets better. For the many reasons, incidents increase and administrators pick up that slack. Not because they add more or figure out new ways to increase efficiency, but because they work more. Now that everyone's working more, why not work a little smarter? Look at the root of what's happening and get smarter. Educate students, but also figuring out a way to give teachers their prep periods back needs to start happening. And this begins with people not calling out sick so much. It's as simple as that. People call out less when they feel like they belong more. There's that too. So what does belonging look like at your site? Do you as an employee feel welcome? Do you as the leader make a welcoming environment? Is it safe there? Let's start with that one. I mean, make it safe. Make it welcoming. That's only natural in leadership. Do you need outside companies to mentor students and work with troubled youth? Do you need clubs during lunch to reduce traffic flow of those wandering around? Do you have places for students after school so the influences of the neighborhood aren't so impactful? If you wanted something long-term, how does your school impact the community? But we'll go down that road throughout the season. What do you do for your staff regarding celebrations? How about that one? How about what do you do for your students regarding celebrations? Why not make it a school-wide effort? Think about it like this example, kids and staff birthdays instead of just staff. Why not celebrating things like Earth Day as a school and plant something annually? This is a legacy and creates belonging. You want a Jedi tip? Allow the school to impact your campus somehow. How can you make something or paint something or change something with a message of what's next for you guys as a school on your campus? Get everyone lunch every Friday for the rest of the school year. Get the parents involved or find a way. Get them donuts if that's too much and I don't know, or rotate a department a week if you're that huge. Then break that school down because you're too big. Two big schools, this is for you. You're creating the isolation problem already. We've seen that impact on society for years. People are considered numbers in the system in schools that don't even have names and are also numbers. You know what? Where's your mascot at a time like now? What's on your t-shirt? What's your slogan as a school? If it's not that good or it's the same one or whatever, update it. Make it a contest. What are you guys doing in your community that could be good for one of the businesses or somebody who lives there? Begin to make an impact by teaching people the basics and connecting your school with the community somehow as an example. Teachers and leaders, think about what I'm saying here. Your school is where your students go every day. This is their way of not living in that virtual world and not needing to communicate in that virtual world. You know, that podcast talks about little communities that include what people need to survive in that are being established. And this includes a socialization which begins to flourish within the population of people in those little communities over time. What does your campus and your school and your classroom do to mock this for students? You can offer what is in the world that they could need and include an element of socialization that is planned and guided and modeled as well. Therein lies what a definition of school seems to be today. And so, that said, my name is Joe Colossi, and you're listening to the Traveling Principal Podcast. Thanks for going down this road with me today. I hope it kind of inspired you or motivated you to help. Remember, if you're not teaching to improve, you're kind of teaching the opposite. See you guys next time.